What's really unknown is the circumstances under which this attack came about. Was this simply a target of opportunity? Did ISIS simply find out that this was a restaurant where American soldiers regularly ate, and they were able to mount an attack, and so they did so? Or was this a more deliberate effort aimed at affecting the wider strategic situation, and in particular, affecting the American withdrawal from Syria? If it is the latter, you know, the real question, I think, out there, and I think both can go together, is, was this about ISIS wanting to try to drive the United States out from Syria faster? And how much of it was about wanting to take credit for having driven the United States out of Syria? Obviously, right now, ISIS is not dead, but they've taken some very serious hits. Their ability to recruit across the Middle East is much diminished from what it once was. They're not holding very significant territory, and they're clearly looking to rebuild their strength, regain their psychological sway over the Arab world, reestablish themselves as the leaders of the resistance movement, a status that was dealt some crushing blows by their losses in both Iraq and Syria. And so it seems reasonable that ISIS may have mounted this attack in an effort to be able to both speed the American departure from Syria and to try to take credit for it, to be able to say to the Arab world, hey, we're the guys who drove the Americans out of Syria. Once again, we're winners, and therefore you should rally to us.
Is there a power vacuum there?
There's no question that there's a power vacuum in Syria. There always has been. What we've seen in recent years has been an effort by the Iranians, Russians, and the Assad regime to try to fill that power vacuum, to try to regain control. They've done so partially, but only partially. And of course, another part of this power vacuum had been filled by the U.S.-backed coalition. And of course, our disengagement from Syria is opening that space back up, you know, rebuilding or increasing the extent of the power vacuum. And of course, ISIS and other terrorist and insurgent groups like them, they thrive in those kind of vacuums.
Now what for the U.S. military?
Well, I think that the real question mark is actually what President Trump decides. The U.S. military is going to follow his orders. They're going to do what they are told. There are clearly a lot of American military personnel who believe in the mission in Syria, who don't want to abandon the Kurds. But at the end of the day, the commander-in-chief makes a decision. They follow the orders. What we don't know is how President Trump is going to respond to this. And, you know, I think we can come up with three or four very quick scenarios that are all possibilities for Trump.
What does this mean right now, today, that this took place, U.S. troops are dead and possibly injured, and the U.S. is still considering leaving? Is that the right thing to do?
From my perspective, no. I think that we are going to open up a wider vacuum in Syria. I think that all kinds of bad people are going to fill that vacuum, whether it's the Iranians or ISIS. And I think that they are going to use the territory that they're able to gain there to develop attacks, certainly against our allies in the Middle East, if not directly against us. You know, it's something that we've seen time and again in the Middle East.
Where do you believe ISIS gets or got the wherewithal to do something like this? This was a huge explosion. It wasn't a ticky-tack small thing. This was a huge explosion. It's our understanding that ISIS has been stressed and pressed and essentially was out of money. And where did they get the resources to do this, in your opinion?
Hard to say. I don't know enough about the attack to really come down definitively. But, you know, let's remember, the previous iteration of ISIS was al-Qaeda in Iraq. And when al-Qaeda in Iraq was really in terrible shape, after the surge, they still managed to put together some, you know, huge terrorist attacks. In fact, you may remember that they filled up dump trucks full of explosives and detonated them outside of two Iraqi ministries. Now, AQI was on its death throes, they still were able to come up with those kind of explosive blasts.
All right. So one other thing or two then. What, in your what do you think the U.S. should do at this point?
Well, look, what I would like to see the United States do is actually back the Syrian opposition more fully and use that backing to force a negotiated settlement in Syria, which would establish a meaningful power-sharing arrangement that could then be the basis for a durable peace. Right? I think walking away, again, it's creating a power vacuum in which ISIS could thrive, and you know that's perhaps worse, you know, maybe the best end, is that it allows the Russians, Iranians, and Syrians to gain control over Syria, which then sets up the prospect that Iran establishes a base to operate against Israel, to push further into the Middle East. These are all bad scenarios. So again, from my perspective, a better move, back the Syrian opposition, use that backing to force a negotiated settlement on the part of the Assad regime that could actually be the basis for a very different kind of outcome.
Anything you want to add that I haven't asked you about that you think is important as it relates to today, this attack, and moving forward?
Well, again, I think the real big question out there is, you know, President Trump is completely unpredictable, and we don't know how he'll react. He might see this as a rationale for speeding his withdrawal. He might use it as an opportunity to hammer ISIS, go ahead and mount airstrikes, maybe even then and withdraw as well. This might inject some caution into his thinking, and maybe he reconsiders his decision to withdraw. But, you know, the problem that we have is we have a president who doesn't really understand the Middle East, who makes spur-of-the-moment decisions with very significant consequences, and he is very unpredictable.
Ken Pollack, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and a former National Security Council official. J.J. Green, WTOP News.